Good evening. I'm Ed Murrow. The name of the program is Person to Person. Tonight we'll be visiting with singer Jill Corey in her New York apartment. And then on to Washington, where the spokesman for the movie industry, Eric Johnston, and his wife will be waiting for us at home. Jill Corey, singing star for Columbia Records and the Hit Parade, was just a high school girl a little more than 4 years ago. Instead of continuing on to college, Jill worked her way into show business. Jill is a miner's daughter, one of five children from the town of Avonmore, Pennsylvania, population 1,300. She went from high school right to New York and a Mitch Miller audition. And before she was 18, Jill Corey was a star. Jill Corey lives in a three-room apartment in this house in Midtown Manhattan. It's just east of Central Park, the first apartment that has been her own since she arrived in the big city. Evening, Jill.
Good evening, Mr. Merrill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I couldn't quite hear you. There's a fire siren going on outside.
I hope it isn't in your building.
No, no. We're all right.
Well, your companion seems to be very well behaved. He isn't troubled by the siren.
No, Mr. Merrill. Actually, it isn't real at all. It's a bank. It was given to me by my friends, the Earharts. They're from California. They're wonderful people. They were hoping that I'd maybe try to save some money.
They haven't
really succeeded.
You have trouble saving?
Yes, I have. Like, for instance, just last week, I managed to buy 9 new dresses and a mink coat all in one day. I spent 6 weeks' pay just like that.
Just like that. I suppose many people have the same trouble if they're lucky enough, but what's your special problem? Expensive hobbies or something like that?
I haven't a hobby, but I do like to buy lots of clothes, yes.
And all that spending on Jill Corey?
No, just like last week, I had a birthday, and so I felt a little guilty about all my spending. So I went out and bought some gifts for my nephews and nieces. That eased the guilt pains just a little bit.
Well, maybe you won't want to answer this, but don't you ever try to economize at all?
Luckily for me, I have a very good manager and my sister who helped me out very, very much. They put away for me what I don't even know they are doing it, because if it was left to me, I got very much if I'd have much in the bank.
Someone told me that you will go and spend a lot of money on clothes and then economize by going home on the bus. Is that right?
Yes, I've done that. It doesn't help very much, but every dollar counts, they tell me.
Well, Jill, it's obvious you've learned all about the New York shops.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you feel you've learned since you left Avonmore?
I think I've learned a lot about people, Mr. Murrow. I've been in New York now for 4 years, and talking has been quite a problem with me. I always felt that I really didn't have too much to say. And for the first year or so, I avoided crowds and so forth. I didn't think I had any important thing to talk about. And then I found out that other people are just as worried about conversation and worrying about people liking them as I am. And I became a little more ease with myself. And they all make mistakes. Nobody is perfect. I'm just learning that slowly but surely.
Uh-huh. Tell me, Jill, do you like living alone?
Well, I have a very cute apartment. Would you like to see it, Mr. Murray?
I would. Thank you.
Right. It's rather small, but sometimes it does get lonely. But I always manage to go home at least every 6 weeks, so that takes care of the loneliness part.
Mm-hmm.
They only live an hour and 15 minutes away, my family.
From,
as you said, Avonmore.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll show you the kitchen.
How
really, that's the only way you can get into it.
How much time do you spend in there?
Not very much. Mostly mornings for breakfast. I make coffee and orange juice and my cereal, and that's the extent. I'm not a very good cook.
Jill, on our way into that huge kitchen, I thought I saw a portrait of you in the foyer. Is that right?
Yes, you did. This was done by a very good friend of mine, an artist friend, Mike McShee. And I like the portrait. I'm very, very proud of it.
Well, to me, you look just a little sad.
That's exactly what I like about it, Mr. Merrill. It seems that everybody seems to think of Jill Corey with a great big smile on her face and always happy. And I think I have a very large mouth and look much better when it's sad, when I'm a little quiet. And that's why I like it.
I even
spent $30 for a frame for it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever try to paint yourself?
No, but I do sketch a bit. I had tonsillitis about 6 weeks ago or so, and I didn't know what to do with my spare time, so I took it up. I'm not really very good at it. I'll show you a few pictures if you promise not to laugh.
All right.
All right?
Yes. You don't like people to laugh. We'll be serious and sad about this.
I like to be happy sometimes. This is a little Eskimo boy.
Oh, very nice little boy.
You like that? Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. This is my sister Alice.
Uh-huh.
She's really much prettier than that. That's the best I could do. My sister raised me since I've been four. My mother died when I was four, and she took care of my three brothers and myself, and we've become very, very close.
Have you ever wanted to do this sketching seriously, or did you always want to sing?
I've wanted to sing, it seems, about as long as I can remember. I started whenever I was 8 years old. Amateur hours, always sponsored by the Lions Club, oddly enough, and a church choir for 2 years. And then I had my own radio show, which I didn't get paid for, and it was called Hometown Review, and my name was Norma Jean Speranza at the time, and that lasted for a year. And I got a very good break. I was offered the job of singing with Johnny Murphy's band, and I made all of $5 an evening, but that lasted for 3.5 years, and it was a great source of experience, and I don't know what I would have done without it. It was a very good band, by the way. We worked about 5 and 6 nights a week.
Uh-huh. Did your family encourage you in this ambition?
Well, they realized this is what I wanted, Mr. Merrill, and they didn't want to stand in my way. They didn't approve at first because it meant my getting in like 2 o'clock in the morning, almost every night of the week, and they insisted that I keep my grades up, and I managed to do that. And then they sort of got used to the idea that Norma Jean Speranza wants to be a singer one day, so we'll let her go at that.
Well, Miss Corey, you evidently like show business. Is
yes.
there anything you don't like about it?
And there are a few things, like when everybody gets very concerned about my personal life,
mm-hmm.
like about who's your ideal man, Joe Corey, and tell me about the men that you're going out with. You know, how old are they and what business they're in? And I think that's a little embarrassing at times, but I'm sure I'll live through that. That's not a very big complaint. I'm really very happy in my business.
All right, we'll try to avoid questions like that.
Okay. Your next question. Who's your ideal man?
No. Does anyone ever ask you, have you read any good books lately?
Very seldom. But I'm glad you asked it, because I happen to be reading a few good books right now. I've just finished the complete works of Nathaniel West, you know, the Day of the Locust, Miss Lonely Hearts, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Menninger's Love Against Hate. And right now I'm reading The Last Angry Man by Gerald Green. Just wonderful, really.
What do you recommend?
Well,
what's your favorite?
Excellent reading, but I do have a favorite, and it's called 101 Famous Poems. And you know why? Because when I first came to New York, I used to be very, very sad about living alone and wasn't too happy with myself and all that was going on. Mr. Emerson wrote a poem about, "Goodbye, proud world, I'm going home."
Mm-hmm.
And I like that very much. And there's also one that I remember from my high school days called Maud Miller by Mr. Whittaker. And I'll read you just the last few lines of the poem. I can't forget these. "Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these that might have been."
How many of those poems have you memorized?
Absolutely none. I have a terrible memory, Mr. Merrill.
Do you ever forget the lyrics of a song?
No, oddly enough, I haven't. And I usually manage to forget any of the books that I've read, and I find myself continually rereading a good book that I enjoy, and I can't remember the story or the characters. And conversations I managed to forget, but never a lyric of a song. I've been rather lucky.
I've heard it said that you sing as though you believe every word of the lyric. Do you?
Well, I try to. I think it makes for a more sincere performance. And I want to please my audience at all times, and I think they know whether sincerity is coming forth or not. I believe that the lyrics of a song is more important almost than the melody. You have a story to tell, and tell it. And if it's a sad song, I can get very, very sad. And I also like to sing happy songs.
Jill, can you remember, in spite of your bad memory, the best notice you ever got?
Yes, I can. It didn't happen too very long ago, that's why. It was a tribute to Ed Wynn, a spectacular special that I was on. And I had to portray Nora Bays.
Uh-huh.
And King Wynn asked his father, Ed Wynn, "Pop, who is the most beautiful woman that you ever worked with?" And Mr. Wynn said, "Oh, I remember her well. It was Nora Bays. A gorgeous figure and such a beautiful voice. So I can see it all now. The house lights dimming down, and the spotlight coming on this beautiful creature. As she sang, "Shine on Harvest Moon." And Mr. Merle, there I was standing in the spotlight. It was me he was talking about. I had a beautiful gown on and my hair in an upswing came across very well. And I got such wonderful compliments the next day, and I've been getting into this day about the show.
You must have felt that you were a long way from the Pennsylvania coal fields. What does your family think of your career?
They're very, very happy about it, and they're really proud, especially my father. Though I must admit he finds criticism now and again. He usually calls me every Sunday. He's in Miami now. My brother Bernard is stationed in the Coast Guards there, so he's living with him.
Yes.
And my daddy calls me and he says, well, he either liked my hairdo or he didn't, and he liked the gown or he didn't. And he said, you looked a little nervous on that show and try to get more command of yourself, etc. He mostly likes me, though.
What kind of advice does he give you, aside from your hairdo and your clothes and so forth?
Every time I talk to my father, at the end of each conversation, he says, be good. That's his closing line, and I know he means it.
Well, Jill, aside from following your father's advice, what would you say is the most important thing to you right now?
I think my family comes first, and religion, and getting to know myself a little better, and being more at ease with myself, and maybe doing some good one day, and learning to just accept other people and just be at home in the world.
Well, Jill Corey, thank you very much for letting us come and visit you.
You're quite welcome, Mr. Merle.
And give our regards to your father and the rest of your family when you talk with them, please.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Goodbye.
Good night.